بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We hope everyone is enjoying their first day of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from all of us and to make us from those who benefit greatly from Ramadan and give us a beautiful Eid at the end. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. We also ask Allah for forgiveness for those who passed away last year who are unable to reach this Ramadan. May Allah ta'ala grant them Jannah to Firdaus and Nur in their qabr, in their graves, inshallah ta'ala. And sabr jameel for the families. This year, inshallah ta'ala, for our Ramadan halaqas, I want to do a... some people ask me, what is my favorite surah of the Quran? And generally, I think it's like something, you know, here and there, like Surah Baqarah or something like that. But my favorite surah of the Quran is actually Surah Hud. It's actually a name that I wanted to give my son when he was born, but someone in the community already took that name, so I wasn't able to do that. It's a beautiful surah. It's very close to my heart. It was one of the surahs when I was memorizing the Quran that I, you know, enthusiastically, or I really wanted to devote it to memory. And so I encourage everyone to find that favorite surah of yours as well and put that to memory, inshallah ta'ala. One of the reasons why I liked it so much is the idea that Muslims, unfortunately, they like to stick onto some of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't like to talk about Allah Ta'ala as who He is. What I mean is, certain Muslims only like to talk about the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And they only see that, oh man, you're talking about like His power and, you know, His strength and His might. And it's not really clicking for people. And other times when we talk about Jahannam, people feel almost like scared or worried. Whereas a Muslim, when they hear about Allah Ta'ala, no matter what someone describes about Him, as long as they're describing Him in the right way, they fall in love with Allah. And so the Jalal, we say, the power of Allah, and the Jamal, which is the beauty of Allah, or the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, you know, this Surah Hud is something that comprises of both of these parts. It really talks about Allah Ta'ala for who He is, and it really comes into detail. The word is going to come up in the first ayah of Surah Hud, tafseel. It really describes Allah Ta'ala's His kindness, and it really describes His power. It almost resembles Surah Al-Anbiya, for those who are listening to the halaqas throughout the year. So there is a beautiful connection in the surah with the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Surah Hud really represents that. It has that connection. And so you'll find in the variety and the variation, and just really the expressions in Surah Hud are just so unique in throughout the entire Quran that you'll really love it when you start to get down into it. From the examples, from the stories, what we're going to call tafseel, the elaboration, the explanation, Those parts that Allah Ta'ala will bring, inshallah ta'ala, will really just, it'll illuminate the heart. We ask Allah that He makes it a reality for all of us, that we see this, inshallah ta'ala, in this surah. I mean, Allah to make us from those that spend their month of Ramadan contemplating and reflecting on the ayat, the beautiful verses of the Quran. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And so we wanted to first talk about the surah itself. There's a beautiful narration in the Sunnah of Tirmidhi that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam, qad shibta. He goes and says, O Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, you have aged. You've grown some gray hairs. And you look a bit more worn out than normal, alayhi salatu wasalam. And so Abu Bakr then was asking, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't know what's making you look a bit older than normal. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, Shayyabatni Hud wa akhawatuha, that the Surah Hud and its sisters, meaning surahs like it, have aged me. And so they are what? Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Mursalat, Naba, and Takwir. These are the five surahs in the Quran that have such vivid depictions of the Day of Judgment. If someone wanted to see how Qiyamah, about what's going to happen in the hereafter, they'll read these five surahs and they'll see it for the reality that it is. Along with that, Surah Hud has much more magnificent parts. As you know, Waqi'ah is, it's about 3-4 pages. Mursalat is, you know, just a page and a half. Naba is also a page and a half. Takwir is about 1 page. These are very short surahs compared to Hud, which takes up about, you know, 10 or so pages, mashallah. It's a very large, maybe even about 11 or 12 pages, mashallah. It's a very large surah. So it has a lot of detail, a lot of explanation, a lot of stories. It's just amazing surah overall. And we'll see it, inshallah, when we get there. So we need to hear sometimes about Allah Ta'ala's
mercy. And we need to hear sometimes about Allah Ta'ala's power. It keeps us in check. Sometimes we get overconfident. So when we get overconfident and we think that we're good to go, we're already in Jannah. We've already put the first foot into Jannah. At that moment, remind yourself about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll find it in Surah Hud. And at certain times, we'll feel like we're the lowest of the low. Some of us probably, when we first started Ramadan, tell ourselves, myself included, I told myself that I don't really deserve this Ramadan. I don't deserve this Ramadan. I know many Muslims who passed away this year, and I wish that they had this Ramadan because I didn't deserve it. Allah ta'ala honored me and blessed me for the fact that I'm here. And so sometimes we feel very low because of our sins, because an entire year we were making mistakes. Then Allah, because of His kindness and mercy, said, you know what? I'll open the door of Ramadan for you. You'll be able to see the hilal, the crescent, mashallah. You'll start your tarawih from last night. You'll get all those blessings, mashallah. That feeling that we get, I mean, we don't deserve it. And so Surah Hud will keep you in check too. It will remind you about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That way you don't keep yourself on a low. And that's why this surah is so beautiful. So mashallah, we will see that the beauty will shine throughout. We'll see the mercy of Allah ta'ala within His power. And we'll see the power within His mercy. You'll see both of these things, inshallah. May Allah show this reality throughout the surah, inshallah ta'ala. So now let's begin. Alif Lam Ra. The surah begins with these three powerful letters of that many surahs of the Quran start with, which are called the Huruf al-Muqatta'at. Those letters which Allah ta'ala knows the meaning of, the true meaning of these letters. One of the things that they come down for is that it's presenting a challenge to everyone who is listening. To everyone who is listening. When Allah ta'ala does this, He basically gives you the mic. He gives you the ball in your court. He says, it's your turn. Show me what you can do. If you really think this book is made from a human, and you yourself are a human, and you yourself can model and match and copy human beings, then I want you to copy this book. Imitate it. Make something similar to it. Match this book. Allah Ta'ala dropped the gauntlet. And He said, for everyone to pick it up. Anyone who wants to do in the world, copy this Quran. So Allah Ta'ala said, Alif Lam Mim Ra, Alif Lam Ra. These three letters that are comprising of the Arabic alphabet. Every Arab has an ability to use these letters. They want to produce the Quran. The Quran is only made up of letters. Use the same letters that Allah Ta'ala has used. Use Alif Lam Ra. Show us what you can do. Allah says, three letters I give you. Give Him a challenge. This is my challenge to you. Who is able to produce something like the Quran? So Allah Ta'ala says, Kitabun Uhkimat Ayatu. It's a beautiful first ayah. Now I'm making dua. We get up to ayah number 5. But I'm telling you, this surah, every single ayah is such a gem. It's really just a gem. Kitabun. A tremendous scripture, a tremendous book, uhkimat ayatu, that its verses are perfected. These verses are to the supreme, on the highest mode. In Arabic, you use the passive form. For example, when you say to someone that, like, you know, you are their lawyer, you are defending them in court, or you are a prosecutor, and so you are taking them to court. So what happens is what? You throw down your book, your suitcase, and you say that the case has been made. The case has been made. That's it. You slam the suitcase on the desk and say, the case has been made. Everything is finished. Uhkimat ayatu has that same feeling that the book has been, the verses have been perfected. It's completely done. There's nothing else to do afterwards. There's nothing more you can do. There's nothing more you can change. This book has been perfected. Its verses have been perfected. What are the verses here? And what has been perfected? Mufassirin, scholars from long ago have been discussing about what it means to be these verses. And what does it mean to be perfected? So they said it could be the commands of Allah Ta'ala that are so perfectly designed that the ayats of inheritance, the way inheritance is designed, or the fact that we have gender separation in Islam, the way it protects both genders from each other, from the harms of each other, or the fact that khamr has been made haram, alcohol has been made haram, gambling has been made haram, the commands of Allah Ta'ala, the fact that we have to pray 5 times, or this or that, every single command of Allah, every single prohibition of Allah has been made perfectly, mashallah. And the same way the rewards of Allah Ta'ala, that He's so kind and generous, that He says you do one good deed, you multiply by 10. And if you do one good deed in Ramadan, one fard in Ramadan, it's multiplied by 70. That's such a perfection, mashallah. Or the fact that the punishment always matches the crime, that a person themselves, if we remember last time in Surah Al-Anbiya, they could not hear the screaming of their souls to themselves. They could not hear that the souls are screaming out to worship one Allah. So Allah gives them the punishment in Jahannam, that they'll be by themselves isolated while they're screaming therein. So it's a beautiful connection of a punishment with the crime. So everything, so they're saying it could be the commands, the prohibitions, the rewards, the punishments. Could it be the proofs of Allah, the evidences of Allah? Could it be the signs of Allah? What is it? What is it? One scholar had put it down so beautifully. He said, everything within this book has been perfected and fortified. To every single harakah, to every single Zubar Zayd Pesh, to every single Fatah Dhamma Kasra, every single letter, to every single sound has been protected and fortified, like a castle. The example that's being given in this first ayah is that the entire Quran is like a castle. You cannot get through to it. You cannot break it. When you have a strong castle, would anything break through to it? Would anything go through to it? Will you be able to go through and charge in? Will you be able to come in and destroy something or remove something or delete something or take something from the castle? This fortress will never break or weaken. This is what Allah Ta'ala is saying about his verses. He's telling everyone in the world, my challenge to the world, Allah Ta'ala says, my challenge to the world is that try to alter my book, try to remove something from my book, try to delete a letter from this book. You cannot do it. Even Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Kawthar, if I were to read in front of someone in this audience here, or for anyone who's listening later on, if I were to read Suratul Kawthar to you, and if I said, Inna Ateena Kal Kawthar, you know, and I read it wrong, every child in Maktab will be able to tell me that I read the surah wrong. You cannot do this with the Bible. You cannot do this with the Torah. You cannot do it with any book in the world. The Quran is the only book that every single letter and harf has been protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, no one's going to break this. At the time of Makkah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was delivering this message, the fear came into the Muslim's heart. Will the Prophet of Allah alayhi wa sallam be able to become successful? Will the Muslims be successful? Will Islam thrive or will it die? This feeling was coming in their hearts. We might feel the same thing in America, in the states that we're in. Will Islam be successful or will it be destroyed? Allah Ta'ala tells us that my fortress, my ayat, will never be broken. You have nothing to worry about. Your backing is the backing of the Quran. Your backing is the backing of the Quran. You know, people get happy when it's like the US dollar that's backing something or something like that, or it's gold backed or whatever. People get so happy because why? Because now their finances are stable, you know? This FDA insured and all these things. People are like, man, if this is a FTC insured, I'm sorry. If it's insured by so-and-so or so-and-so, they were like, oh man, we're completely fine. You know, we got nothing to worry about. Even if I lose this much money, someone has my back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I got your back. My Quran has your back. You have nothing to worry about. As long as you are connected to this Quran, nothing will be able to dent you. The scholars have also said that you don't need another fortress. When Allah has made such a beautiful castle for everyone to stay safe and secure in, no other deen is required. No other deen is coming. Uhkimat ayatu. It's already perfect. You don't need to do anything. This refutes anyone who thinks that Islam needs to be changed or modernized or developed. The development of Islam is already there. It's been perfected. Allah perfected it at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All you and I need to do now is implement it properly. And you'll see how beautiful the world will become when you practice the beautiful religion of Islam. And if this is how the castle is, if this is how fortified it is, if this is how its walls are and its moats are, you know, think about a castle. How much do you need to do to get into the castle? It's a huge castle. It's Allah Ta'ala's book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's amazing kitab. Allah Ta'ala's, if you know, you think about it. If it's this type of castle so fortified, how can we ever benefit from it? How can we ever take from it? How can we ever acquire from it? You think that there'd be no way to break through. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. Allah says, don't worry about you opening the castle and taking out its treasures. This book of Allah is an amazing book, right? The Quran is an extraordinary book. Allah just described it as a perfect fortified fortress, a castle that no one can get into. A person might feel in their mind, they might tell themselves that there's no way we can actually benefit from it then. If it's so well designed, it's so well built, who can actually access it? Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. Allah says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it myself. I'll explain it for you. I'll describe it for you. If you want the king's treasures, Allah Ta'ala says, if you want my treasures, if you want to benefit from the Quran, just come and ask me. I'll explain it to you. Allah says he expounds it. He makes tafsil. The word is tafsil. He says, I will open this vault for you. And this Quran has literally, it's limitless. The treasures in this Quran are unlimited. Whatever you want within it, you'll find it. You want something. You want happiness. You want success. You want joy. You want companionship. You want love. You want anything in the world, really. Wallahi, it's in the book. Just open the book and you'll find it. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll open this vault for you. It's explained in various ways. Fussilat. It's explained in extraordinary ways. And you'll find it again, the crux of it. One of the most beautiful places is Surah Hud. Explained in various ways, example after example, story after story. What do you find the Quran does to you? What do you find the Quran does to you? First, it does what? It takes you a tour of the world. It takes you on a tour of the world, from the oceans to the air, from the land to the mountains. After it takes you to the world, it makes you make safar, it makes you travel the world. Then it blasts your soul into the stars. You start visiting the cosmos. You start visiting Jupiter and Saturn and all these different planets. And you start to go even further than that. You go up to the heavens. It blasts your soul into the stars. Then what does it do? It brings you back to the earth to look at camels and cars. It tells you about things that you ride on. It looks, look, it's been made for you to walk on. Why don't you look at the earth? Then it goes even further and it says, then it says to you to look at the world and how it was made just for you. Then it tells you what? Then it takes you back to the time of Nuh, then to Lut, and then Shu'aib, alayhi salam. Then what does it do? Then you see the fall of Ad and Thamud. Then you see what? You hear of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. You see that the Quran takes you from here to there. Then it tells you to look at the bee, and then look at the tree. And then it tells you to look at yourselves. Can't you see? وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبُصِرُونَ The Quran tells you to go here and there, here and there. Then it takes you to the scene of that day, that tremendous day. Then it takes you back to Adam alayhi salam, who was made from clay. And I'm telling you this, that every single thing I just told you right now is found in specific verses of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala just takes you all over the world. The only thing you can tell yourself is, how am I not reading this book? How am I not reading this book? It is the ultimate tragedy to Muslims that they let dust get onto this book that's been perfected, that's been expounded and explained, that thousands upon thousands of books have been written upon the Quran, upon what it talks about, or what upon what it describes. How are we not getting connected to this book? How are we not reading about it? How are we getting so much enjoyment from reading from some nonsense, from whatever's happening in the news of today and tomorrow, and TikTok and Facebook and WhatsApp and Instagram, and all these people that have nothing to do with their lives, except ruin your life, except waste your own time? How are we not reading this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why it's so divine. The book is from what? Min ladun hakim khabir. It's from the most wise, it's from the most informed. It only could come from him. This many perspectives, this way of discussing and talking, that you take them from here. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرِينَ الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ From the camel إِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ to the heavens. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ Then take them to the mountains. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ Then take them to the earth. Allah Ta'ala takes you from here to there, here to there. One place in the Quran you're talking about with the angels. Then Allah Ta'ala talks about the creation of Adam alayhi salam. Then he talks about what the shayateen are talking. Another place you think is Surah Al-Anbiya. Surah Al-Anbiya will only talk about the prophets of the past. And at the end of Surah Al-Anbiya, you come out with this banger. It's an amazing spot where Allah Ta'ala says that Rahmatan lil alameen. He talks about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You find that every single portion of the Quran is just so amazing. You find in Surah Al-Kahf, you're saying, Ya Allah, you went and explained things for so long. I wish you gave me a story. Then Allah gives you a story. You know, when you finally get the story, like, Ya Allah, I wish you could break it down. Then Allah gives you ayats which break it down. We don't read the book. I'm telling you, we don't read the book. We have no idea what it's saying to us. We have to read it, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq. This is just the first ayah. This grand message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest of all, the greatest of all books, coming on the greatest of all messengers, on the greatest of all hearts, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All he has to do is tell them one thing. Allah ta'budu illallah. He says, min ladun hakimin khabir, from the most, the all wise, from the all informed, to what? To the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he can give them this message. Allah ta'budu illallah. You must not worship anyone other than Allah. Your life, everything about our life, has to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not waste our time with anything or anyone else. Only connect yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything I do is for Allah. Everything I live for Allah. Everything I grow for is for Allah. Everything I develop is for Allah. Everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you live a life with Allah, happiness will come from Allah. Comfort is going to come from Allah. And really, wallahi, successful is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what this book is telling us. That this book has been so well perfected and designed, then expounded and explained from the all-wise and all-knowledgeable. This entire book that's coming down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think he's not going to give you happiness? You think he's not going to give you comfort? You think he's not going to give you success? Just worship him. If you worship him, everything is there. If you worship him, everything is there. And if you distance yourself from him, then every misery is there. You'll never find anything in life. People who forget Allah forget themselves. Allah Ta'ala says that don't become the one who forgets Allah, or else he'll make them forget about themselves. Today, people are waking up not knowing if they're a boy or a girl, not knowing about which skin color they're in. They don't know anything about themselves. They don't know anything about themselves anymore. There are people that don't understand anything about morality. Allah Ta'ala literally, you know, sadaqallah, Allah Ta'ala said the truth. When people forgot about God, God said what? You know what? Forget about yourself then. You won't even know who you are anymore. But when you connect yourself to Allah, you'll find that everything in your life is happening. It is perfected. What is this ayah telling us? What is the deeper ayah, part of this ayah? It's saying the same way that Allah Ta'ala selected and perfected the Quran. Everything about the Quran has been meticulously designed from every single harf and haraka. Everything about the Quran has been meticulously designed. Same thing is about your life. Everything about our lives has been meticulously designed as well.
that every letter is like every breath that we have. We breathe in and breathe out, inhale, exhale. Every moment that we have in our life has been perfected. People are upset about their tests. But listen, the test has been designed perfectly for you. The things that happen in your life are designed for you. Allah Ta'ala made this life for you. He said, this is the life for you. For Shaquille, this is what he's going to get. For whatever trial he's going to get, this is what he's going to get. This is how much life he's going to get. This is what Allah has decided. And he's done it the same way he decided the Quran. The same way the Quran has been designed as your life. And sometimes you'll find in life you're at the edge of the sea with Musa alayhi salam, with this Bani Israel that is cursing you and blaming you for everything. And they're saying, Musa, because of you, now we're going to be caught by Fir'aun. That's going to happen sometimes in life. But what do you find? That right after that, Allah opens the waters for you. You might find yourself in a difficult time in life. Like Musa alayhi salam at the edge of the ocean. You find him at the edge of the Red Sea. Then you'll find Allah to open the waters for you. At times you'll find that you're crying with Ya'qub alayhi salam, crying his eyes out. And you can't seem to find any glimmer of hope in life. You feel so sad and depressed about what's happening around you. One time you're crying your eyes out with Ya'qub alayhi salam. The next thing you know, you're crying because you're meeting Yusuf alayhi salam. You don't know which part of the Quran you're in. That's why it's important for us to read the entire book. And understand, where is my example in this book? Where am I in this book? Find yourself in there. That we talked about in Surah Al-Anbiya. Allah says your mention is in this book. Find yourself, discover yourself in the Quran this Ramadan, inshallah. You don't know where life will take you. Just be patient with it all. And if you're thinking this is coming from my side, I'm telling you this from my side. I'm not telling you this from my side. I'm telling you this from the last ayah of Surah Yunus. Surah Hud, this ayah is Surah number 11. Surah Hud is Surah number 11. Surah to Yunus is Surah number 10. It's the Surah right before. At the end of Surah Yunus, Allah Ta'ala says, وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ. Allah Ta'ala says, follow what is being revealed to you and be patient until Allah Ta'ala gives his judgment. When I told myself and for everyone here to be patient and just be willing to go with what Allah Ta'ala is telling you to do and just go with the flow and live life, just being pleased with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's what Allah Ta'ala said at the end of Surah Yunus. And then he goes and says, وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. He's the best of all judges. And then he gives you Surah Al-Hud and tells you that if you want to find your example, look at Surah Al-Hud. It's beautiful the way the Quran is connected from one place to the other. Become a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our goal. That look, I didn't deserve this Ramadan. I did not deserve this Ramadan. There are people in this world that definitely deserved it. They passed away last year. And may Allah to make them all martyrs and shuhada of this ummah. But look at this. I got this Ramadan. Now I got to make it the best Ramadan that I can. I have to become a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no other way for me. And so the Prophet ﷺ continues, the ayah continues, إِنِّي لَكُمْ مِنْهُ نَذِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ. He says, look, I'm a warner, لَكُمْ, for you, from him, وَبَشِيرٌ, and a bearer of glad tidings. The first part of this ayah that's so clear or so striking is that the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ, that I am a warner for you all, for you and I. The Prophet ﷺ, you can imagine how busy of a person he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How dedicated he was to his work and his opportunities, everything that he has in his life. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can imagine taking care of Medina, taking care of the Muslims of Makkah. You know, it's so many things to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet the ayah says that he is a warner for us all. That you and I sitting in the comforts of our homes, listening in right now to this talk, and myself included, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I am a warner for you. I'm here for you. And I'm here to give you glad tidings as well. I'm here for you. And he says, I came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you compassion, to make you understand it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَكُمْ مِنْهُ نَذِينُ وَبَشِيرٌ. The deen is a connection to Allah. When you take more of the deen, the more you feel connected to Allah. That question comes up in Ramadan. How do I get connected? How do I feel more attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Practice more deen. Read more Quran. Give a little bit more of your time. Tell yourself today, I'm going to read one more extra juz, or one half juz, or a quarter juz, or one page, or even one ayah. You've connected yourself even more. Today I'll send more salawat ala Nabi alayhi salatu salam. You know what? Today's the day I'm going to make fajr in jama'at. Today's the day I'm going to make maghrib in jama'at. You know what? Today's the day I'm going to make things happen for myself. I'm going to connect myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you go to Allah by a handspan, he comes to you by an arm's length. And if you go to Allah ta'ala walking, he comes to you running. And everyone needs to remember this, that it is not easy for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None of this is easy for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has to go through so many difficulties, so many hardships to do this, because he has to warn them night and day, day and night. The grief that goes along with warning people. You and I, we recognize where people will go in this life. We don't see what happens to them when they hit the grave. We don't know what's going to happen to them hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ has intimate knowledge about what happens into people's graves. There's a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ says very beautifully, that he knows, the Prophet ﷺ says, he tells everyone, that if you could hear the screaming of the graves, You can hear the torment of the graves, the punishment of the graves. You would never bury any of your dead anymore. You never bury any of your dead anymore. So the Prophet ﷺ has intimate knowledge about what happens to people when they die. And you can imagine the grief in his heart when he hears that one person died without the kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. They died without being a Muslim. How sad he would become. How grieved he would become. His life is for this mission and people are not getting hidayah. He hears one person dies, he hears another person is born. And he has to think about this not till just the people of his time, until the day of judgment he has to consider for everyone that's going to live and everyone that's going to die. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You send salawat anhu alayhi sallam. You tell him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he lived his life for us. And he goes and says, وَأَنِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. I seek forgiveness from your Lord. ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Allah Ta'ala says very beautifully. The Prophet says it was commanded to tell us, number one, worship Allah alone. Your happiness is worshiping Allah alone. And your joy is in there. And if you don't worship Allah by himself, then you will find no happiness in this world. You'll find some brief moments of joy and it'll completely disappear. The second thing the Prophet says was commanded to tell us, أَنِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Seek forgiveness from your Lord. ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Then turn to him and repent. If a person seeks forgiveness from Allah and makes tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُمَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَاعًا حَسَنًا. This ayah is so beautiful, really. It says, he will provide you with wonderful things to enjoy. He says, by you making tawbah and telling yourself that I wasn't the best person, I made mistakes, and I'm not the greatest person in the world, and I don't have all the greatest things, and I'm not the best person. And you just admit it to yourself that I'm not good. Then what happens is when you make tawbah to Allah, Allah says, I'll make your life beautiful for you. I'll make your life beautiful for you. One person came to Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, very famously. He said, Hassan, I don't have any children. Then he said to make istighfar. Hassan al-Basri told him to make istighfar. And another person came to him and said, Hassan, I don't have any property. He said, make istighfar. He says that, Hassan, I don't have, rain is not coming down. He said, make istighfar. And so one of his students asked Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, said, Hassan, why are you keep telling everyone to just make istighfar? Sheikhs, if they only give you one ta'weez, people will be like, this sheikh is totally fake. You should give us like a variety of things to do, And so Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, said, why would I tell them anything? Except what the Quran has told them. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنُّ كَانَ غَفَارًا يُسْلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِدْرَارًا. In Surah An-Nuh, Allah Ta'ala says, Nuh alayhi salam says, I told them to seek forgiveness from their Lord because he is all forgiving. He'll send down the rain for you and he'll benefit you with children and springs and he'll make this and this and this for you. He said, istighfar is the key to getting from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people are having difficulty in their life, just make tawbah to Allah. Wallahi, just make tawbah to Allah. إِلَىٰ أَجْلٍ مُسَمَّى. Allah Ta'ala says, but it's for a given time. Don't think that, okay, man, I'm enjoying my millions of dollars, my cryptocurrency, mashallah, I'm benefiting from everything. That's only for a given time. إِلَىٰ أَجْلٍ مُسَمَّى. No one will enjoy it forever. This everything that we have in this world is going to be taken away at one time when we go in this life. Now Allah Ta'ala says, but already because of a person's goodness, a person will live a happier life. This is the thing about a person being kind and nice, is that they live happier lives than the people who are greedy and miserable. That person has depression because they can't seem to find happiness in money because money is dead. What are you going to get from money? What are you going to get from the wealth in your world? You have a property, but who do you have to enjoy it with? If your family hates you, your wife hates you, your kids hate you. And this is what happens when people don't worship Allah. They take riba, they take interest, they gamble and all these haram things. Then they want happiness and joy. Listen, happiness and joy is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you didn't obey him, don't expect anything from him. Because a person is good, they'll live a happier life. Then Allah says on top of that, وَيُتِّيكُ الَّذِي فَضْلٍ فَضْلًا. He says he will bestow his grace unto every noble one. If you were a good person, if you were a kind person, Allah says, along with your normal risk, I will add more to it. And along with that risk that you have, Allah Ta'ala says, in the day of judgment, I will multiply it even more. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm not going to give from your side or from his side or that side or from angel's side, whatever. No. I'm going to give from my side. I'm going to give for what I can give. People, we tell everyone that you'll get 10 times the reward for every good deed and 70 times in Ramadan. But this is the bare minimum. This is the bare minimum. Even Laylatul Qadr, we say 1,000 months. But the Quran says, خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. It says it's better than 1,000 months. If you're thinking Allah is just going to give you 70 times or just going to give you 10 times, you don't know who Allah is. He is the ul fadli al-azim. He is the one who has tremendous grace. Then Allah Ta'ala says, when someone recognizes short, we already spoke about this part. And then Allah Ta'ala, and the Prophet ﷺ told us that a person is deprived from provisions because of a sin that they committed. If a person is finding difficulty in their risk, stop committing sins and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll find that things will become easier. Then the Prophet ﷺ warns everyone, وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ كَبِيرٍ. And if you turn away, then I fear for you a punishment of a tremendous day. What is this tremendous day?
Is it the day of our death? Is it the day of our graves? Is it Jahannam? What is that day? It is the day إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And it's to Allah Ta'ala's our return, and He's powerful over everything. So mashallah, we'll leave it there for today, inshallah. There are many more beautiful ayat to go through in Surah Hud. The stories are going to come up as well, mashallah. We ask Allah to give us tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala, that He allows us to benefit, inshallah ta'ala, from this. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِ مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى سُحِجِينَ. Jazakum Allah khairan for everyone who intended. Jazakum Allah.